I'm going to talk about Tovasana and Makiri Kahuna on the Sugyan Kuf Kaf Gimama base. So before I start, I want to read a little bit from the Psukim. It's very interesting. The marker of the Sugya of Tovasana is in Parshas Naso, right before the Sugya of Sota, and the end of the third Aliyah. The Pasuk says, V'ish es kadashav lo yiyu, ish asher yitain la kohen lo yiyah. So Rashi quotes the Sifri, and I have the Torah Tmima here that quotes the Sifri. The Sifri darshans this Pasuk, Yaho yito la kohen matnos of Bezra. I would think that the kohen can grab the matnos kahuna against the will of the Israel. Tamid lomer v'ish es kadashav lo yiyu, magid shetovas hana labalim. So the Balaam have, the Torah gives the right to the Balaam to decide which coin to give it. That's called Tovasana. And the question is, what does that mean? So let's start with, first of all, the basic machlokas. So I just want to do some background before we apply it to our sugya about the concept of Tovasana. So there are several applications about a machlokas, Tanaim, Amoraim. It's called whether Tovasana is Mammon or Tovasana is not Mammon. So one particular example is the sugya in Gittin in the end of the second perek on Daf Nun Pes Amud Aleph. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamikadish b'trumos ubemaisros." A man is mikadish in isha. Now we're talking about a non-kohen. So a Yisrael goes to an isha and he says, gives her trumos and maisros, or matanos, meaning matnos kuna, or mechates. Harezu mikudeshes. The Mishnah tells you it's good kedusha. So the Gemara says the two ways to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, but the simple reading of the Mishnah is because Tovasana is Mama, and based on that he can transfer that monetary schus to the woman, and with that schus he's Mekadesh the Yisha. Amar Ula Tovasana Einu Mama. So Ula says Tovasana is not Mama. So the Gemara says, according to Ula, how do you learn the Mishnah? If Tovasana Einu Mama, why does the Mishnah say you could be Mekadesh the Yisha? Isve Rav Abba Le Ula Mekadesh Trum Maisers Harezu Mekudeshes. Amalei Hacha B'Yisrael Shenaflo Tvalim Mi Beis Avi Imo Kohen V'Kasava Matana Shlohur Mekimi Shohur Medam. We're talking about a case where the grandson Yisrael got a Yerusha of the Matnas Kahuna from his maternal grandfather, who was a Kohen, and that's why he was able to be Mekadesh the Isha. But the Yisrael, where he's certainly not the owner of the Trumas and Maestros, cannot be Mekadesh the Yisha. Okay. So first of all, just talk about, there's a Machlokas how we paskin. The Rosh and this Gemara holds Tovasana is Mammon, the Rambam and the Tor paskin Tovasana ain't Mammon. What is this Machlokas whether Tovasana is Mammon or not? Meaning the fact that the Torah gives the Yisrael, the Balaam, the right to decide which Kohen, we have two Kohanim here, right? You're both Kohanim. Both, so focus for you, right? The Torah gives the right for us, the Israelim, to decide to give you, the Kohanim, which Truma, you know, which Kohen we're going to pick and choose. So is that some other, you know, privilege, or is that schus considered to be a chelik of the mamonos of the object itself? If you say Tovasana Mammon, means it's not just a right that's independent of the object, but it's considered to be a part of the chelik of the object itself. Right. No, it's that.
Even though truma is not yours,
you have a chelik and ask. Like, we'll discuss more details in a second. But at this,
you still own the truma.
Right. Okay. To that extent.
And what's the alternative explanation?
The other meaning, the one that says Tovasana Eino Mammon.
Yeah.
Right. The one who says Tovasana Eino Mammon means the Torah tells you to decide. But that's not a chelik of the monetary scores.
What do you mean?
It's like the Torah says, even though you do not have any chelik in terms of the ownership, but nevertheless, the Torah says you still decide anyway.
The right you have is independent.
Independent of the ownership.
It's
right.
Sort of an odd idea that you have a right to determine what's the goal, it's not considered ownership of the
object. Right, but that's the svara. It's like you're saying, the Torah says it's not mine, but nevertheless, I'm like an administrator. I can decide anyway, like you have a manager. A manager doesn't own it.
It's an apotropos.
Right, apotropos idea. Okay, that would be the svara to say, Tovasana ain't a man. Okay? Okay, so with that, a little more background, leading to our sugya, and there is a sugya in Baba Metzia where they're, Tak for Coin, the famous sugya of Tak for Coin. So there, the Gemara talks about if the coin grabs it. So the Tosa says, let's assume we say, let's say he grabs Trumos or Meinsers. Or they're talking about the Bechor, right? So Ein Mutzien Miyada, right? So Tosu says, wait a minute. It's how can we say that if the coin grabs it? Ein Mutzien Miyado, but since the Baalim have the din of Tovas Anah, they could say, I don't want you to have it, I want another coin to get it. So what good is it that the coin can grab it because it's his Bechor, but who says it's this coin and maybe it belongs to the other coin? And therefore, why can't the Baalim take it away and say, I want it to go to the other person? That's Tosus Kasha. So Tosus gives two answers, that government base, the top Tosus. So one answer Tosus says is, oh, we're talking about Makire Kehuna. And he always gave to this coin. Or Inam, he says, let me read the Tosus inside, okay?
So,
I'm going to read the Tosos in Bar Metzia, the Vamon base. So, V'im Tomar, Amai Ein Mutzien Miyado, V'alo Abalim Yomru, Liten L'Koin Acher, right? V'yesh Lomar D'Makir Ekuna, and we'll have to explain what this means. Inam, he says Tosos, Einu Yachol L'Tova Rak Tovas Hanashe Yeshlo Bo, and it's only a very small amount, meaning whatever monetary ownership, let's say 2%, you could put it in terms of percentage. So he says it's a 2%. So the real object belongs to him and I only have a 2%, but my 2% cannot stop him from the 98%, so he at least will have 98%. So therefore he at least has that amount. Okay. So the question is, first of all, why? That's a good answer. Why is the first answer rejecting that? Why does the first answer have to say Makirei Kehuna, right? So it must be that the first answer would say, this is like a Hakira further within Tovas Anah. The first answer would say that within the Tzad, let's say that we're going to say it's a monetary ownership, right? So the second answer is saying it's a 2%. The first answer would say, no, it's considered to be an integral part of the entire object. In other words, you cannot split the object and the Tovas Anah, two separate things. That's what the second answer is saying. I have a 2% right in terms of deciding which coin to get it, and a 98% ownership of the rest of the object. The first answer of Tosus is saying, no, the two ownerships are integrated together. The part and parcel of owning the Heftza is to decide which coin to do it, to give it to. And therefore, within every molecule of the object itself lies the ownership of the decision to give it to which coin, and therefore you cannot split it in any way. The second answer is saying you can split this, and the first answer is saying they go integrally together. They're integrated as one unit, and therefore the only way out is by giving an alternative answer of Makirei Kehuna. Okay? Question, is that clear? So that, now we want to get into this whole concept of Makirei Kehuna. Okay? So there is, our sugya is going to talk about Makirei Kehuna in Baba Basra. There's also Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara and Gittin is talking about the case is where the Yisrael is the Malva and he loaned money to a Kohen or a Levi or an Ani. A Malva, Levi. And let's say they make the following deal. The Yisrael is going to have produce, Trumas and Maestras. So instead of giving the Truma to the Kohen, and the Kohen is going to repay the loan to the Yisrael, they say the following deal. The Yisrael will keep the Truma and he'll deduct from the payment of the loan the value of the Truma. Right? Instead of switching hands, the payment of the Truma will serve as the repayment of the loan. That's what the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about. So the Mishnah says you could do it. Or mice or whatever. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, how can you do it? But don't you need a Nesina? Where's your Nesina? Right? He never gave it to the Kohen and took it back. Where is he fulfilling the Nesina? How did it ever go into the hand of the Kohen? So the Gemara gives three answers. One possible answer, the Gemara says, Makirei Kehuna. second answer the Gemara says it's a din derabana. Asu misha einu zocha kilu hu zocha. Okay, or the third answer is mizaka yideachem. He asked somebody to accept it on his behalf. So what's the lumdus of makire kahuna? So Rashi on Gittin says that it's considered to be that, like, as if all the kohanim are misyayishemen. They're misyak das, and therefore the mail of this coin gets. So the lumdus of the Rashi is that every truma, who does it belong to? Is it that it belongs to Yisrael, and then the Yisrael is makna the truma to the kohen? Rashi is mashma that even before it reaches the hand of the kohen, the truma is mamon hasheva. Like it's a communal korban, truma that belongs like a shutfus. All the kohanim are shutfim in the truma, and they own all truma. The only thing is, the Baalim have told us not to decide which Kohen gets it. So when he is Makiri Kuhuna, then all the other Kohanim are Mesiyat Das, that's Yeush, and Mimele goes to this Kohen. So therefore, I don't need to do any Nesina. It automatically belongs to them because they are Mesiyat Das. That's the Lamdas of Rashi. You follow? The other Terutzim say otherwise, okay? So that's how Rashi understands the concept of Makiri Kuhuna. Okay, now let's now look at our Gemara. Okay, we're going to look at Baba Basra. Okay, so Kufkav Gimam and Bezal, read a couple of lines. The Gemara talks about a Bakor, and the din is Bakor is only gets Pishnayim on Muksak, but not Roy. So what's the example? So if somebody owed money to the father, the Bakor doesn't get Pishnayim on that loan, because that's Roy. Okay? So now let's look at the Gemara, Kufkav Gemara. Let me read. First, it's the last narrow line. Tana Rabban. Habakur noto pishnayim bezroa ubelechayim ubekeva, which are, of course, matnas kohuna, meaning the father and the son are kohanim. The father, what happened was, the father never got these matnas kohuna. He died. But it was something that was owed to the father. So the son, who is a Bechor Kohen, will get Pishnayim within these Matnas Kehuna. U'beshvach she'eshvichu nochasim lachar mises avien. Keitzet, hiniach len avien para. Mukeres, muskeres b'yad acherim, or shai seroa ba'efer, v'yad the Bechor noto Pishnayim. Because that's called Roy. So the Gemara says, did the father get it? Cheetah. Then that's not Roy, that's obvious. The idolo asuli devon, royu. Vena bakor noto baroy, ki bemuksa. So the Gemara answers, "Hacha b'makirei kuhuna askina, v'diyishtachid b'chayvun." It was already shechted when the father was alive. V'kisav matana shalohu mekimishuhu mudam. And because of makirei kuhuna, it's considered not roy; it's muksa. The question is, how does makirei kuhuna make it muksa? What did I say? Roy? I mean, it's muksa, not roy, right? How does makirei kuhuna make it muksa, not roy? That's the problem. So, let's look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Makire Kuhuna. Well, start with, Aval Banu Batim, the high Shvacha Yidei Yisomim Atma. Oh, Royho. The low dami l'shvacha shishbichu anachasim, the kivan dehavi avu an mukzer b'nachasim. If the father would have had the nachasim, meinatzman hushbichu, then they would get it. But this is what makire kahuna she'anshe ha'ir krovav u'makirav. Right, the particular kohanim are his friends. Shel kohen zeh, meaning the owner of the matnas kuna are friends with this particular kohen. Umezakin lo zikui gamo, and they are transferring to the kohen a complete transfer. B'matnos b'hemtein. Now this sounds like that they do a kinyan, right? That they say to somebody, oh, I want you to pick this up and take it on behalf of the kohen. The problem is, the next Rashbam we're going to read, it sounds like it's a hakna and not a zikur, and it's automatic. But this Rashbam sounds mezakin lo, it sounds like there's a zikur, right? If you skip down, here, the next Rashbam says, v'deishtachit b'chayavun, v'dami kiman da'asu liyadei, it's as if it reached the hand of the father. Bitiv layu, da'aminan b'shkita skulin, da'kanil kohen, i'asu liyadei bitiv layin, d'matanu shlohorma kimushu horman dami. Now skip the next line. Given the second line, given the ishtachet b'chayavuhen, behem makirin shakohen ze, umereyav o'avav, afa pisha adayin lohu fershu, harem ki ilu ba'u liyada, she'elu o'avav gamru, they made up their mind, umaknu lo hamatanos, kishin adayin betocha behema. Now that sounds not like zikoy, but there was like a hakna. Now what hakna are we talking about? So one way that Akronim, some Akronim want to learn Pshat is that there is a concept based on a Rishash in Bechoros, there's a concept called Gemiras Das. And if, in other words, there's a classic Kakir, we need a Kinyan. But what's Kona? The Maisa Kinyan or the Gemiras Das? Is what's important the Gemiras Das? And the Maisa Kinyan is only necessary to generate the Gemiras Das? Or really the Maisa Kinyan creates the Kinyan? If we say that Gemiras Das is really the Kinyan, and the Maisa Kinyan is just to generate, we could substitute for the Maisa Kinyan if the context says that we know he has Gemiras Das. For example, the Gemara says Simtusa is a Kinyan. Simtusa was a handshake. If the custom, right, if the custom is that if you make a handshake, like by diamond dealers, they say mazel bracha, right? If you do mazel bracha and a handshake by a diamond dealer, it's the done deal, right? So that means if the custom is that this is a final deal and everybody knows it's a final deal, then that should be good enough. And it should be not necessary to do Maisa Kinyan. And that's what the Rishash says. It's only necessary to do Maisa Kinyan if you don't have any particular verification that you have Gemiras Das. So what the Rashbam, one way to learn the Rashbam, that's how the Akronim learn is, that if he is his makir, his friend, that's Gemiras Das. You know he wants him to get it. And therefore, that's Gemiras Das, and that's considered like a Kinyan. You follow? Okay. Now let's see Tosos. By the way, Rabbeinu Yonah says in this Gemara, it's a Din Derabanan. This is a Kinyan Derabanan. Like the Gemara in Gittin, one answer. So he says this is a Din Derabanan. Okay? So look at Tosfos. Haka b'makire kehuna askina. B'kol duchta avit makire kehuna muksek. Wherever you look at the Gemara, like in Gittin, says makire kehuna is considered like the Kohen already has it. B'pere kol aget. Hamava ma'os as a Kohen v'levi. V'hainu time. Now what's the lamdus? How does makire kehuna work? So I told you, Rashi says it's mamana shevet. Rashbam says Gemiras Das. Let's see what Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's a Kinyan Durabana. Okay? What does Tosu say? Tosu says, Shezehu Matana Mu'etes V'asur Lachzur Bo. The Lamdus of Makire Kehuna is called Matana Mu'etes. There's a Gemara Bar Mitzia. The Gemara Bar Mitzia says, if I promise to give you a small gift, that's called Mechusre Amana. I'm not supposed to back out. And therefore, it is forbidden for me to back out. And if it's a matana mu'etes, then it's considered to be valid. So Tosu says, you see that any time there is a matana mu'etes, there is a concept of a kinyan. So Tosu says, well, tova sana is a small amount. Pashtus, the lamdus of Tosu is that monetarily it's not worth. Whether you learn like the second pshat, like in Tosus Bamitia, that you can separate it like the 2%, or even if you say it's within the entire object, But still, qualitatively, it's still monetarily a small amount. So because of that, that's called matana muetas. And once it's a matana muetas, you are not allowed to back out. So the question is, okay, you're not allowed to back out. How does that make a kinyan, just because you're not allowed to back out? So Rav Ochanan wants to say it's similar to the pshat like in the Rashbam. It's gemiras das. So the only thing is the Rashbam says, as long as you have any way of indicating you have gemiras das, that's going to be a complete kinyan. And it doesn't have to be matana meatas. You can have other ways you have gemiras das, like the simtusa case. You could say, according to Tosfos, you need the formality of a matana muetas, which Chazal were misaking, that they said al pidin, that's considered gmiras das. But if you have some other way umduna gmiras das, that may not be good enough. So the difference between Tosfos and the Rashbam is, Rashbam would be a general statement of gmiras das, and you have some way of indicating that's good enough, while Tosfos says it has to be within the manifestation of a takana derabanan, in the form of matana muetas. Okay, but both would be saying that it's a din of gmiras das, and based on gmiras das, it's considered as if the object now belongs to the kohen. Are you following? Okay, this is one way to learn Tosos, based on the lamdus of matana muetas of gmiras das. The Dvar Avram has a different pshat in this Tosos. He quotes the Nesivos. It's like the Nesivos. The Dvar Avram wants to say a completely different pshat. It's similar to the Rashi in Gittin. It's mamon hashevet. So monetarily, the object belongs to the kohen already, without me, or to the shevet kohuna. Okay? But the problem is the baalim have a tova sana. What Tosus is addressing is, how do I transfer the tova sana? The object already, from the time it became truma, belongs to the shevet kohuna. It was never mine in the first place. But the Baalim have the Tova Sana. So what we need to do is get rid of the Tova Sana. So because it is Asur to go back on a Matana Muetas, right? Like the Gemara says, by Matana Muetas, you're not allowed to be Chozer. That is enough to say, I give up my Tova Sana. If you are my friend, and I promise to give it to you, the Makira Kihuna is a way of creating matana muetas that is like a promise, like an implicit promise. And once I promise to give you something, I'm not allowed to retract. Once I cannot retract, I give up my tova sana. Once I give up the tova sana, it now belongs to the kohanim, and therefore belongs to this particular kohen, because I promised to give to this kohen. So relative to the other kohanim, I still have matana, my tova sana. But relative to you, I give up my tova sana to you, because I implicitly promised to give to you. So that's what the lambdas of. So these are the two ways to learn Tosfos. Either we learn like Rav Elchanan, who says it's a gmiras das in the form of matana muetas, which means not only the tova sana, the entire object is being transferred over through this concept of matana muetas. That's one pshat. The second way is the Dvar Avram, the way he learned Pshat and Tosfos is that the object really belongs to the Kohen or the Shevet Kohuna. And what the Matana Moetis accomplishes is to remove the Tova Sana. And because I'm not allowed to be Chozer, that means my decision has been made. So what is the notion of Tova Sana? According to Tosfos, the Tova Sana is a way of making a decision. And if I made my decision because I'm not allowed to back out, then my decision has been made. Okay? Now, within this, there's the two ways to understand Tosfos. Nesivos versus the Ktzos. The Ktzos says, you know what? What about the following case? Let's say a person would take, instead of Makiri Kuhuna, we have a different example. Let's say you take a Shvua that I will give to this Kohen, or I will give this present. Okay? So if I take a shvua, would that be also equivalent? Or does it have to be based on this idea of matana muetas? Let's say instead of matana muetas, the person took a shvua and he's not allowed to back out, not because of his words of based on this principle of mechusre amuna, which is like a mamonos concept. If I make a monetary deal with you, I'm not allowed to back out. That's a monetary obligation. Let's say no monetary obligation, but I make a shvua. Is that also good? The Ktzos says that's also good. Nesivos says no. Okay? So, Can you create a transfer of matana of a tova sana working within this dvar avram that the object really belongs to the kohen? The balim only have a tova sana. Can we transfer a tova sana through a shvua? So says yes. Meaning, can you give up the tova sana by virtue of the fact that you made a shvua to the kohen? Right. So the right, exactly, exactly. That's what the Ktos says.
How would that be?
Meaning, I am the Baalim and I have the right to decide to give to you, but I could change my mind. But if I take a shvua, now I can't change my mind. Will that restriction, the fact I cannot change my mind, be sufficient in order for me to be able to give up my tova sana, and now the object is completely yours? So the Ktos says yes. And the Nesira says, shvu is not enough. It has to be a monetary skus. According to Tosfos, it's not enough that there is an Iser to go back, but the Iser has to be a mamonos Iser. It has to be an Iser based on the fact that you have a monetary skus. So if it's a matana muetis, where it's through monetary skus, then not being allowed to back out is enough of a decision to say that it's considered I gave up my tova sana. But if it's through just the shvua, which is some other external extenuating circumstance, logistically stopping me from deciding, that's not sufficient. So that's the machlokas, the ktsos, and the sivas. Got it? Question is, what's the machlokas? So I think the hakira is like this. What is the concept of tova sana? Let's get to the nitty gritty, right? So according to the Ktos, the lamdus of tova sana is a block. It really belongs to the shevet kahuna. The balim can stop the particular kohen from keeping it because they have tova sana, because they could say, I want to go to another kohen. So when I take a shvua, or when I take a promise and I cannot back out, it has to be a meaningful statement, then all I'm doing is removing my block. I have a way of stopping the coin from grabbing it, so the shvua stops me from stopping the coin. So once I remove the block, whatever coin grabs it, it's his. You follow? So according to the Ktos, the concept of tova sana is just a block from stopping kohanim from grabbing it. And if I remove the block because of my virtue of my shvua, then the coin can take it. Right? And that's exactly what the Tosfos in Bar Mitzvah I read with you said. It was a case where the coin grabbed it, any coin. And now, if remember, the first answer of Tosfos in Bar Mitzvah was, Makiri Kehuna, if the coin grabbed it, I can't stop him. Because I gave up my Tova Sana. You follow? The Nesiva says, no, it's not a block. I have a monetary skus. Tova Sana gives me monetary rights in this object, and because of that, it has to be a monetary restriction which stops me in order for the coin to keep it. But if the skus is not a monetary skus, but it's a religious skus because of a shvua, that's not good enough. You follow? That's the machlokes. You got it? Between the ktsos and the nesivas. Okay? There's another machlokes between ktsos and nesivas, which I think is lishitasa. Machlokis is like this. In Simon Reish Mem Gimel, Sifkat and Ches, the Nesivus and Ktos in that same Sifkat and Tesvav says like this. The din is, you can give Truma to a Cheresh to a Kohen who is a Cheresh Shota Vekata. So the question that the Ktos raises is, how can you do a Nesina to a Cheresh Shota Vekata? They're Lav Bardas. There can't be Kona. So the Ktos quotes the Prechadash, and he says there's a concept called Nesina Bal Korcha Shmei Nesina. If I have a Malva, and I'm the Lova, and I want to give a loan back to the Malva, I can do it. That's called Nesina Bal Korcha. It's a Sugi and Gittin in the seventh parak. Or let's say in the year, right? You have a year to redeem your field. If you put your money, the Gemara says, you can redeem it, okay? So this concept is called Nesina Bal Korcha Shmei Nesina. That's why even though the recipient, the katan, the cheresh, don't have das, they don't need das. I can shove it to them. And the same way Bal Korcha works, person who doesn't have das is also sufficient. You follow? Okay. The Nesiva says that's not the pshat. He says it's not mishtameres, because when you do a nesina, it has to be mishtamer. But if he doesn't have das, what kind of a shmira is that? So that's not a nesina. Okay? So the Nesivus has a different lambdas. And second of all, says the Nesivus, wait a minute. Matana Karya Rahmana. The Gemara later on, Kuf Kav Dalet, we're going to learn, says that a Bechor can say, I don't want Pishnayim, and I don't want to have responsibility to pay the loan, twice the loan, and I won't get twice the Yerush, and I won't pay twice the loan. And the Rashbam explains the reason the Bechor can give up that right. See, a person who inherits cannot give up Yerusha. It's Bal Korcha. You cannot say, I don't want to inherit. However, the Bechor could give up the Pishnayim because Matana Karya Rahman. So says the Nesivas, the Torah calls Truma Matanasam. It's called Matana. Matana Savodasam. So since the Torah calls it a Matana, so how can you shove it down the throat? He could say, I don't want it. So therefore, the whole concept of Nesina Bal Korcha should not be applicable according to Nesivas when it comes to Trumas. So Nesiva says, why Taka can you give Truma to Acher Shota Vakata? Right? So Nesiva says, there's two concepts. There's Tovas Hana and there's a Maisa Nesina. So he claims the Nesina is a consequence of the Tovas Hana. So because I have a monetary source to decide which coin will give it, so the Nesina is just the result of my Tovas Hana. So even though technically the recipient is a katan or a cheresh who don't have das and they cannot be konat, it doesn't make a difference. As long as I decide, I'm the balabas, the Torah gives me the right to decide that this coin will give it, will be a recipient, then he automatically receives it. So I just need a physical nesina. I don't need a legal nesina that does a legal transfer, because the legality is already built in into the Tovas Hana. While the Ktzor says, I need a legal Nesina to do it. So I believe this machlokes between the Ktzor and the Nesivas is mamish lishitasa. Because the Ktzor is saying the concept of Tovas Hana is just a block. Because really by right, the Truma belongs to the Shevet Kahuna anyway. But I can stop it. So therefore, I need a legal Nesina to remove my block. While, or some other mechanism to do it. The Tovas Hana per se is not enough. So therefore, he says, I need the concept of Nesina Bal Korcha Shmei Nesina. Or, the way our sugya say Makira Kahuna, based on the fact that it's a Matana Muetas and I cannot back out, or a Shvua, any way to stop yourself from backing out, from blocking, would be sufficient. The Nesiva says, no, it's not a block, it's a monetary source. I, the Baalim, have a monetary source in this object that stops the coin from taking it. It's not just a block, but it's a source. And therefore, it's that Tovas Hana that gives me the right to decide which coin will give it, will take it, and therefore there's no need for a legal transfer through the Nesiva. You hear? This is the machlokas between the Ktzos and the Nesivas. Okay? In fact, the Gemara in Hulin, the Achronim asked the Kasha on the... In fact, the Nesiva says, what's my raya? He says, we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kiddushin says that you can be Mekadesh and Isha, if you hold Tovas Hana Mamon, you can be Mekadesh and Isha with the Truma, right? Because you're transferring the Tovas Hana. Nesiva says, but what happened to the Mitzvah Nesina? You give her the legal Tovas Hana, but what happened to your Mitzvah Nesina? How does that disappear? So that proves that when you transfer the object and you give her the Tovas Hana, then the Nesina goes along with the Tovas Hana. You follow? Otherwise, you give her the Tovas Hana, but you have the Mitzvah Nesina. How do you separate the two? The answer is they go together. You follow? The Mishnah and Kiddush. Do you understand the proof? Okay, so now, says the Nesiva, suppose you will be masking your Tovas Hana, not the object, but just the Tovas Hana. So then you would not have no Mitzvah Nesina. There would be no Mitzvah Nesina to give it to a Kohen if you are masking your Tovas Hana. It's all Talui on that Mitzvah, on that Tovas Hana. You don't have the Tovas Hana, so then there's no Din Nesina, and any Kohen can just grab it and eat it. Okay? No, because you're saying, meaning because it's like Hefker and he's like being Zoker from the Hefker. Right, that would make sense, right. Depends who gets it, yeah, sure, that's not any different than giving it to him, right? I think so. So there's a kasha. The Achronim have a kasha on the Nesivas from the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Lama Dalet, says that when it comes to true, what happened is, let's say no Kohen comes to collect the Truma. So the Gemara says, you have a responsibility to bring it to another city where they are Kohanim, and make it available for the Kohanim. You can't just simply, you know, let it stand. And why? So the Gemara says, because there's a din of Nesina. There's a din Nesina. So you can't just, see, by Matnos Anim, if no Ani comes, the Gemara says, the mitzvah is to give it to the Anim, and not Le'orvim, or, you know, La'atalafim. If, you know, the bats or the ravens will eat the food. No, if the point is to make it available. If nobody is interested to take the matnas anim, you have the right to keep it. You're not responsible to go and look for the anim and give it to them. But when it comes to truma, because there's a din nesina, you have to go out of your way and find the kohen. So how, this is the kasha, how can the nesiva say that nesina is only a result of your tovas hanah, and you could be makirid? So why does the Gemara in Chulin say that it's not sufficient, and you have to go out of your way and bring it to the Kohanim in the other city? Just be mafkir your Tovas Hanah, and then that's it, right? So I think the answer is because if you're going to be mafkir the Tovas Hanah, we're talking about a case where you're just going to let it rot. The point was, you don't want it to rot. You want to use it yourself. So the Gemara says, if you want to make some use of it, then you have a responsibility to go and bring it. If you were going to be mafkir it, then it's just going to rot away. That wasn't the intention of the person. He doesn't want it just to stand. He wants somebody to eat it. I'm just saying, otherwise, you know, like that was the Shiloh over there in that Gemara. Because the Gemara is talking about by Aniyim, it was the choice either give it to the Aniyim or eat it yourself. There wasn't the choice of just letting it rot, because that was the Gemara before. Le'anim, the Gemara says, and not la'atalafim le'orv. So from the fact the Gemara says that regabe danim, I'm trying to apply that to the case of the Truma as well, that it's not a case where you're just going to let it rot. Okay? Otherwise, it's a strong question on the Nesivas. Okay, so now I'll just... one more ktsos that I'll quote. The ktsos, there's an interesting ktsos that quotes another Gemara. The ktsos says like this. So there is a concept called biyad. The Gemara in the Darim says, if you have an object that's hefker, you can be makdish it before your kohen. Now, in order to be makdish something, it says, ish asher yakdish es beso, ma beso bershuso. Of course, Bershusa. I cannot be makdish something that's not in my Rishus. So how can I be makdish something that's hefker? You have to first pick it up, be koned, and then be makdish it. But the Gemara Nedarim, Lamed Dalet, says, you can be makdish it before you were koned. So the Rosh in Nedarim quotes Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, who says it's a concept of biyada. Because it is accessible, I have the possibility to pick it up and be koned and then be makdish it. So even if I skip the step and I'm not koned and I makdish it directly, because of the biyado koach, that's good enough, and biyado is sufficient for hekdish. So when it comes to the realm of hekdish, we can operate with this mechanism called biyado. Now the ktsos says we have a concept biyado by truma. The din is, you cannot have truma, hafrashes truma on mechuber. It has to be talosh. But the Gemara says, let's say a person says, when it will be removed, it will be truma on my tevel. So because it's within my koach to remove it right now, to detach it from the ground, even if I didn't do it, when it will happen, the hafrasha is meaningful. and therefore it's considered to be a frash on my talent. So that's a concept biyada. So the Ketor says, you see, when it comes to Hekdesh, when it comes to Truma, there's a notion of biyada. Okay? So the same thing here, it says the Tosus. How is this concept, how is the concept of Makire Kehuna operating? The object is in my house. How does it belong, and how is it considered in the Rishus of the Kohen? So the Ketor says it's a concept biyada. Because he is my friend, and it's within my power to give it to him, so it's considered to be as if it's already his. So therefore, with the mechanism of biyado, it can transfer over. So this would be another alternative shot in terms of transferring the matnas kuhuna. Okay? All right, maybe we'll stop here. Okay? Sorry.